Richard Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. With William Gaxton and Victor Moore, yours truly, Bill Goodwin, and Charlie's celebrated guest, William Bendix. Right now, it's Ray Noble and his orchestra with the Pied Piper singing Bye Bye Bessie.
I say your mouth is open.
You open it?
Yes. What's the matter?
Well, I'm sleepy, Bertie.
Oh, you're sleepy?
Yes, this getting up is getting me down.
Is that right? Yes. Yes, I meant to ask you, Charlie, why have you been getting up so early the last week or so?
Well, you know, there's an alarm clock shortage, you know.
Yes, I know there is. It's almost impossible to get one.
Yes, that's how it is, you see.
Yes.
Well, as a result of this surplus of alarm clock shortage...
Yes. Oh, please, gentlemen.
I have started a wake-up service.
Oh, I see. Well, what is this wake-up service?
It's the McCarthy Shut-Eye Opener Incorporated.
Oh, yes.
You drowse, we rouse. Oh, I mean...
Yes. Well, now, just what do you charge for waking people up?
Well, our prices are mildly exorbitant.
Is that so?
Of course, in the winter, it costs more.
Oh, it does?
Yes, on account of research work.
Research?
Yes.
I don't get that.
Well, you see, people use more covers, and they're harder to find in bed.
Oh. Yes.
Yes.
Of course, with you, I just follow the cord of the heating pad.
Yes.
Well, now, how do you wake them up, Charlie?
Well, for light sleepers, I throw pebbles at the windows.
Oh, I see. And for heavy sleepers?
Well, one method is to let a few bees loose in the room.
Yeah.
That service is a honey.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's reliable.
Oh, it is, yes. And if everything else fails, we have a surefire method.
I imagine you would have. And what is that?
Dynamite under the bed.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's a little extreme, isn't it?
Yeah, but it gets you up.
I imagine so, yeah.
And for a slight additional charge, before we touch it off...
Yes?
We aim you towards your job.
Oh, I see. course, there's a carrying charge there.
Yes, I know.
Well, now, how much will you charge to wake me up?
Oh, I'll pay you 50 cents.
50 cents,
yes. And for 75 cents, I'll help you on with your girdle.
Now, wait a minute. What do you say, Bertie?
No, I'm afraid not, Charlie. You can think of the craziest business to get into of any boy I've ever met.
Yeah?
Yes. Charlie, I say, what are you up to now?
Oh, well, I'm in the wake-up service, Ray.
Uh-huh.
Hasn't the alarm clock shortage Hasn't the alarm clock shortage affected you?
Oh, dear me, yes, rather. Why, nearly every morning I'm late at the office.
Well, that's embarrassing, isn't it, Ray?
It is a little later, yes. Of course, I make up for it by leaving early.
Well, haven't you got an alarm clock?
Well, Charlie, I had one, but I took it to the second-hand store to get it fixed.
Why the second-hand store?
Well, it needed a second-hand.
Yeah.
Oh, you mad fool, you. Well, Ray, for a reasonable fee, I'll wake you up every morning, huh?
You will?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but how will you wake me up? You know, Charlie, I insist upon being aroused gently.
Pray do tell.
Hotly, you know?
You're a bundle of nerves, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Very temperamental.
I can just see you,
yes.
Well, I could tickle the bottoms of your feet with a feather.
I say, yes, I'd find that frightfully amusing.
Oh, you would, huh?
Oh, rather.
Oh, well, in that case, there'll be an amusement tax.
Oh. Well, then perhaps we better forget the whole thing, Albert.
Well, now, just a minute. No, don't be cagey. How about the starting of the week?
No, really. The times are hard.
You wouldn't care.
Christmas coming on.
Yes,
how it is.
I see. All right. Well, I won't humor it anymore.
No.
Gee, it's disgusting. A fellow tries to make an honest living. Nobody cares to help a young fellow. I work and I sleep.
All right. I'll subscribe to your service, Charlie.
You will?
Yes. How much is it?
I'll make you a special price.
Yes, I know. You're always doing that.
75 cents a week.
Well, that's nice.
Because your room is right across the hall from mine.
Yes. Well, that's awful nice of you, Charlie.
Now, what time do you want to get up?
I want to be up promptly at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock it shall be.
Yes.
Now, could I ask just one little favor of you, Bergen?
Why, of course, Charlie. What is it?
Would you mind waking me at 5 to 7?
Okay, look at this newspaper, Edgar. It says, Billy Jackson is a great actor. Billy Jackson is a great lover. Billy Jackson is a terrific singer.
Yeah, I wonder how he got such a wonderful write-up.
I happen to be the editor of the paper.
Well, Billy Jackson.
So, you're the editor of a newspaper now, Billy.
Yes, sir, the Daily Record. Greatest little rag in the country. And all the men on my staff are live wire reporters. Wide awake, young and alert. And when it comes to news, they're always Johnny on the spot. Here's one of them now.
Hello. Victor Moore.
Yes, he's one Johnny that slid off the spot.
Hey, Chief, I got a big scoop for you. Boy, is this a hot story. Listen, what movie actress was seen with what actor at what time at what restaurant eating what kind of soup?
Well, what's so hot about that?
The soup.
So you call soup a scoop? Well, you're without a doubt the worst reporter I've ever seen in my entire journalistic career.
Now, just a minute. Everybody tells me I have a nose for news.
Yes, well, I didn't think it was intended for your face.
Thank you, Chief. That's the nicest thing you said to me today.
Well, you're impossible. Look at today's paper. Your item about Mrs. Roosevelt being in town is all blurred.
Yeah, I know. She left town before the ink was dry.
You've got to expect that when you interview famous people.
Don't tell me about famous people. I used to be a correspondent at the White House.
Really? Well, I'd like to read some of your interviews.
Well, the last one just said,
who'd you interview?
Follow the president's dog.
Oh, we'll put that in the Bulldog edition. But you just don't seem to understand the theory of gathering news. Now, If a dog bites a man, that's not news. But if a man bites a dog, you know what that means?
Yeah, no meat coupon.
Well, maybe I should overlook some of your fault. After all, Moore, you're one of our oldest and most trusted employees. In times like these, you really find out who your faithful employees are. By the way, how long have you been with us?
2 days.
That's what I like. Loyalty.
Pardon me, Chief, but who are those twins over there?
Twins?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. One of them's the copy boy.
Well, what's the other one?
Well, he's the common copy boy.
I don't know why I'm working on this small-time paper. You know, I'm an old newspaper man.
Well, why'd you quit?
There's no money in old newspapers.
And another thing more, why aren't you helping the typesetter?
I can't find my type.
Well, maybe I can help you. What is your type?
Oh, any nice girl who can cook.
Well, I don't care whether they can cook or not. So what am I saying? I guess I can't make a newspaper man out of you. Look at the way you handle the headlines. Important things are happening all over the world. And you print this. Alexander Dinwiddie arrives. Alexander Dinwiddie is not an important person.
Oh, boy, he is to me. He's the chairman of my draft board.
Well, that proves that you're just not the kind of a man to work on the Daily Record. The Daily Record, 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 the Daily Record.
The Record needs a new needle.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't try to needle me. You're doing a very poor job of writing, especially your want ads.
What's wrong with my want ads?
Well, you just word them badly. Look at this from yesterday's want ad section. Man with whole legs would like to meet woman with wooden mallet. Object, croquet.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, you thought it was good. The trouble with you, Moore, is that you aren't wide awake. You're living in the past.
I have to. There aren't any apartments.
Well, I shouldn't waste any time with you. I'm expecting a man up from the comic strip department.
Comic strip department?
Yes. That's him now. Come in.
Who is that?
Laffy Smith. Dick Tracy. Missed him again.
Oh, I just saw him in the picture. Laffy, come home.
Oh. I'm having trouble and you're telling jokes, if you want to call that a joke. Look, my Lovelorn editor walked out this morning, and I'm in a jam.
Oh, why don't you let me take over the Lovelorn column?
You, a Lovelorn editor? What do you know about love?
Plenty. I used to be an usher in the balcony of Grauman's Chinese Theater.
But you should have stayed in the balcony for all the good you're doing around here. I found out today that after you got through work here, you sneaked papers out of the office and stood in the corner of Hollywood and Vine and sold them.
Well, I'm sorry, Chief. I just wanted to pick up a couple of bucks.
Well, that's no excuse. It's a direct violation of everything this paper stands for and far beneath the dignity of an outstanding journalist. And besides, Hollywood and Vine is my corner.
Oh.
I should have told you before, Joe.
Yes, well, what is it, Charlie?
You know my wake-up service?
Yes, your wake-up service, yes. What about it?
Well, old man Dugan was one of my customers.
Oh, he was.
And, you know, he's awful hard to wake up.
Yes. Well, so what?
He uses sleeping liquid.
He nipped a little bit?
Yes. You might say he sleeps tight.
Yes, I know. And you had trouble waking him up?
Yeah, but I finally did it.
Oh, that's good.
How? Well, I turned the hose on and flooded his room.
Well, that woke him up.
Yeah, but not until his mattress started floating out the window.
Oh, I see. Out the window.
Yeah.
That's it.
He landed on top of the greenhouse.
No. Did that break his fall?
Well, it slowed him down a little.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
Well, he must have been in rather bad humor after that.
Yes, he was. He was quite mad.
Yes.
He was so mad he didn't know who to punch.
Yes.
So I recommended you.
Well, that's nice. What made you think of me?
Well, he says you're responsible for my actions.
Oh, I see. Well, that's fine.
And he's, matter of fact, he's on his way over and he's going to hang one on you.
Oh, is that so? Charlie, this is awful.
Well, you got nothing to worry about.
Oh, that's fine.
I fixed everything.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Then I won't have to fight him.
No, not that, but I got you a trainer.
A trainer? Yeah. Oh, no, please.
Yeah. He's the toughest guy in the movies. Battling Bill Bendix. Come on over, Bill.
William Bendix. Hello, yeah. Glad to see you.
Met me, Edgar. Now, look, are you ready to make with the Duke?
Well, now, not so fast. Now, just a minute here.
Now, leave us think again about you. Are you in the pig here?
In the pig.
His head is.
All right.
Now, the first thing you got to remember is to fight according to the rules.
Yeah.
Marcus of Gooseberry.
Yeah, what?
I mean Marcus of Raspberry. No.
Well, now, just being as how I like it, I'm going to throw in some juicy jitsu, too.
Yes. But I'm in no condition to fight, Bill.
Okay. So we'll get you in condition with some road work.
Oh?
Running's very good for you.
Running's good for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, first you got to get him in condition to run.
All right. Yeah. But I don't want to be a boxer.
Look, Wiggins, if you leave me here, I'll make you as hard as nails.
Is that so?
That's right.
That's good, huh?
Hard as nails.
You've already got a keg to keep him in.
Oh, Lord. You shut up? Yeah. Bill, do you think I'm a lightweight or probably a middleweight? I'm maybe a heavyweight, huh?
You look more like deadweight. Take a look at them legs.
Well?
I've seen better stands on corn cob pipes. Tell me, did you ever fight before?
Well, as a boy, I used to mix it up a bit.
Yes.
Well, it seems like only yesterday the kid next door beat me up.
It was yesterday.
Do you mean to say you're that puny?
Puny? He is so puny, the barber has to give him Novocaine to shave him.
You're just certainly a sad sight, Quaker. Yeah. You look like a walking rummage sale.
Oh, I think so, huh? Well, now, what about you? You know, your face is a little out of shape.
Well, I got this way from fighting all my life.
Oh, yeah.
What's your excuse?
Well,
that's telling him, fat your mouth, Bill. Now, wait a minute.
Now, do you think you could put me in shape to fight this man, Dugan, you?
Well, certainly.
Yeah. It'll
positively be a massacre.
Shame.
Yeah. We could sell tickets.
Yeah?
Then we could clear enough to pay Bergen's hospital expenses.
Edgar, I can see you now.
Yeah, me too. Blockbuster Dugan versus Void Legs Boygan.
How do I look in
the ring? Oh, great.
Yeah?
I can see you now stepping into the ring.
Yeah.
A mass of quivering muscles.
Yeah?
That ain't Bergen. Oh, now, wait a minute.
The bell rings.
Yeah?
You go to the center of the ring. You spar around.
Yeah?
You size him up, and then you let him have it.
Let him have it, huh?
How can you let him have it when he ain't got it?
Well, now.
Just plugging it out totally.
Yeah.
Bergen's down.
Yeah.
He's up.
Huh?
He's down again.
Oh.
Wait a minute, he's getting up.
Back.
He is up.
He is?
Yeah. Oh, oh.
What happened?
He's down again.
Down again. Yeah. That's the Bergen I know.
Well, the only thing I hope is that Dugan leaves his shillelagh at home.
Yeah. Only an Irishman knows how to swing a shillelagh.
Yeah. Only a Swede knows how to make one talk.
Yeah. What am I laughing at, Lord?
You know, Bill, I've been thinking, seeing you're such a good fighter.
Oh, terrific.
And you're in good shape.
Muscles of steel.
Yes. You know, I could make you a very interesting proposition.
Is that so?
Yeah. Why don't you fight old man Dugan in my place?
Who, me?
Yes.
Well, heavens to Betsy, no.
What?
Me in one of them disgusting brawls?
The guy is a fancy pants.
Yeah.
I'll slug him. But I thought you were a fighter, Bill.
Well, I was. I was going great when something happened that ruined my boxing career.
What was that?
My first fight.
Oh.
Ever since then, I've been a patron of the intelligentsia.
Oh.
A lover of the sweet and gentle things.
Oh, yeah. Well, how did you get that flat nose?
Do I got to tell that?
Yeah, you got to tell. Oh, come on, tell.
I got it from pressing it against candy store windows.
Well, Bill, in the movies, you're always so tough.
I got to do something for a living.
Oh, I see.
But at heart, I has an overwhelming compulsion to rememberize poetry.
Is that so?
Poetry?
Yes. Voice.
Yeah.
I like to make with the muse.
You do?
I adore to peruse the crowd. Guys like Shakespeare and Omar Coyote.
How about Henry Wadsworth Longfoot?
Them's the bimbos for me.
Yeah. You know, I like the ones from Shakespeare's ham hocks.
I'd like them either.
A rose by any other moniker would still give me hay fever.
Yeah, I like that too. Now I quote from my vast repertoire.
Yeah, quotes, go ahead.
Ah, what light from yon window breaks. Is it the east? No, it is the kitchen. And who left the light on?
Throw in a towel, the guy. Punch him.
Charlie, I've got a surprise for you.
Yeah?
We have another guest.
Well, I'm not seeing anyone else tonight, Bergen. I have the slightest touch of fatigue, and I'm overcome with collapse.
So you are?
Yes, I'm just a mess.
But Charlie, no, please, Charlie, I want you...
No, please. No, please, Bergen, no. Not another one.
Charlie, this guest happens to be a very attractive young lady.
I don't... Oh, but what are we waiting for?
Questions through your third clause. Edith Estabrooks of the Waves reporting, sir.
Charlie, before Edith Estabrook joined the Waves, she was a former women's Western golf champion.
Yeah?
Yes.
Gee. And she wears a cute uniform, too.
Yeah.
Let me be the first to enlist.
Sorry, Charlie.
Huh?
The Waves want girls.
Well, we see eye to eye on that, don't we?
The Waves want women between the ages of 20 and 49 with no children under 18. Our country needs the services of American women as never before. Thank you.
Thank you.